For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
We are back, baby! We are talking round one. We've got scores. We've got Richmond W's. And we've got beers. Let's go!
Hodge has done it from nowhere.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Live Friday show, the first one of the season, and I am pumped! I'm ready to go! Richmond winning the premiership! And I'm joined by my fellow Richmond supporter and victory lapper, Luke Rogerson. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. I'm itching to go. I'm a shameful Richmond fan, actually, because I was looking for my Tigers jersey at home and I've obviously filed it away somewhere in the last couple of years when I haven't had a need to wear it. And I look like an absolute fraud at the minute. Like you, mate.
I've got the scarf out. I do have a jersey, but I'm still waiting on the brand spanking new jersey that I'm set to receive as the winner of the Richmond Public League last year.
Any chance to mention how good you are?
Number one Richmond player last year, so my free jersey is on its way. So maybe I want put that one on in a future podcast. But mate, how good was the game last night? We were in the moment last night. You know, footy's back, fantasy's back. The dopamine was just off the charts.
Mate, hook it up to me veins. The dopamine was going crazy. But it was one of those interesting ones where originally you're watching with your fantasy hat on.
Yep.
And then you're cheering for Carlton players to score well, Ollie Hollands, TDK, these kind of guys. And then suddenly you think, Richmond could win this fucking thing.
Yeah, it's like,
okay, we need to just temper the Carlton boys here so we can get a dub.
Well, luckily, my boy TDK, he managed both. He managed a massive score and managed to concede the win to us. So we'll talk about that game in a second. But first, I've got to get a bit of this going. Hopefully that sounded as good as it did here, but cheers, mate.
Cheers. I should probably open mine as well.
Big preseason for us. Hopefully all of you guys have enjoyed the preseason content. And thank you to everyone. Before we get stuck into the show, thank you for everyone who supported the show, whether you are a Patreon member, whether you just like the videos, or you know, you've subscribed, or you've given us a 5-star rating, or simply just taking your time out of your day to listen to us ramble on about crap. We appreciate it because it's what makes it worthwhile, the hours, the work, and it's not really work, but it is very much appreciated to know that people actually want to listen to two blokes sitting in the spare bedroom talking footy.
Wait, hang on. Two blokes sitting in the spare bedroom sounds like the...
Talking about footy.
Yeah, correct.
Let me finish.
Sorry, I didn't let you finish. Well, let's talk about footy then.
Let's talk about footy.
Last night,
Thursday night. So first of all, go to the Tigers. We're winning the premiership. What else is new? But... Yeah, what's going on? Is this, how much can we take out of this game? Because it was definitely not the script we thought it was going to be.
I'll tell you what, I wouldn't have been picking Jaden Short if I knew we were going to win the flag.
Yeah,
so I mean, that looks like
that
a
argument's
shit pick
gone
now.
Out the window. Yeah, ball's going to live down in our defense.
If we're just a touch realistic about things, we don't expect Richmond to be winning too many games this year. And so I think there's a few things that we'll kind of talk about with players that might be anomalies, perhaps, from last night.
I had Richmond's over-under win for the season at 1.5. So, there's the one.
You're on, mate. You're on fire.
That's it. So, now we're going to lose every game from here. So, yes, do remember, I think, yeah. I mean, I think that game was more of a reflection on Carlton just crumbling, personally. So,
it didn't look great once they got under some heat. But I also don't think that performance to be reflective of Carlton for the rest of the season either.
Let's talk fantasy.
Let's do it.
Sam Dusty Lawler was the highlight, at least from a Richmond supporter point of view. You started him in your side. He's on the field. I didn't start him. He was in my side until we got the Ashcroft news, and I kind of had to go him down to get Ashcroft up. So, but is he someone, like, is he an early trade target now that we've seen him? What did he score? 68?
Yeah,
off the top of my head.
I think he is still an early trade target. The thing that you need to keep in mind is obviously he's kicked two goals. It's not going to be an every week thing. Richmond aren't going to get a dub every week either. He's not going to be a high scoring rookie for the year, I don't think. But now that he's got that cash gen moving, he's got a bit of confidence under him. He even got a couple of CBAs in the second half of the game. I think that with not maybe as many rookies that we're super confident in, I think he could be a guy that you need to get in if you didn't already start him.
Yeah, I think he's an option, but obviously still a lot to go under the bridge. Luke Traynor, he played pretty well.
Turns out he's good in the games too. Right,
not just in practice.
Who would have thunk it?
Yeah, he must have. Yeah, on the A track on the way. What's actually even the train lines down in Melbourne? What are they called?
Mate, that's above my pay grade. But the thing with Traynor that I think is interesting is you might even be able to make a case that when Richmond do start playing poorly like we expect them to, there could be even more ball available for him down there.
I think he took a kick in too, my memory serves me well. We so, yeah, we like a bit of that. And I thought, again, going based on what I'd heard people say, I thought he was a bit more of a key defender, but he got in and around the ball movement too. Someone please correct me if we've been fucking this name up, but Camporeale?
Well, the commentator...
Camporeale.
Commentator said it last night, so that's good enough for me. I'll go Camporeale.
Camporeale. So Camporeale, he smashed it. He was on my field, but then the Doherty sub, I put him on my bench just because same like for like, potentially be subbed out. But he was good, played the whole game, started off really well. So he scored a mid-70s, so that's really good to see.
Did you get the correct Camporeale?
I did start the Lucas Camporeale. Hopefully, is it Ben is the other one?
Well, that's the one I've got in my team. He didn't score well for me last
night. No.
Is that the wrong one?
That's the wrong one, mate.
Oh, Delete shit.
Team, start again. Hopefully you had him in your side, and I think I'd be targeting him over a Lawler just because of the cheapness of his starting price if you didn't. Short, you were a little bit concerned last night. I think, like, he started well first. I think he was like leading scorer at halftime, right?
I mean, the ball was down there. Like I said, I didn't pick him to be adding to his dangly. So I think that the first half is perhaps more indicative of what you see of Short. It was a little concerning that he slowed down, especially a guy that we picked as an underpriced potential premium, but I don't think it's panic stations. It might have been panic stations had he not come back on the field in the last 2 minutes, and I think he laid a tackle and maybe...
I think he got a kick in. And
That saved it from looking really dodgy.
He went from the 70, the 7 in front of the score, to an 8 being in front of the score, which makes you feel a lot better.
Depends how the rest of our teams play out, but I suspect that might be a low priority come the end of the weekend.
One thing I learned from this game through and through, without a shadow of a doubt in my mind, is Carlton fucking hate Ollie Hollins.
Mate, I'm telling
you. They hate him.
Did he fool around with someone's missus?
What's going on? Open that many times and Carlton just looked the other way. I know the score doesn't look it, but he was thirsty. He was thirsty. The guy never stops running.
I don't think I've seen a guy run as hard for so few possessions
in
my life.
And even when they kicked it to him, they stuffed up the kicks. He got taken out halfway through the game in a hard sort of someone, I can't remember who it was.
He had an easy 15-meter switch to him at one point, and the guy missed him by about 15 meters,
yeah. It was like, so obviously it's not the score you wanted to start with, especially against Richmond. He scored better in the second half with a 50-point second half, but yeah, it just, I don't know. I have two sides. I'm like, okay, it's not what we want to see, but it also, I feel like in another world, it could have been a lot better had... There's so many things just didn't go his way. So I'll have to wait and see whether or not it's reactionary to trade him out. Chera.
Yeah, both for Chera and for Hollins. But I hope that Vossi doesn't throw the magnets around too much after that one performance. I hope he kind of sticks with what they've wanted to do in the preseason. We keep seeing Hollins in that role.
Yeah.
You don't want
Hollins was bad.
I don't think he was either. But sometimes you see a guy that becomes the fall guy for a poor performance. I don't think it'll be Hollins, hopefully. But, you know, yet to be seen.
And Chera, he was good without being spectacular. You probably wanted a little bit more, although that's a bit greedy, I'd imagine. You know, 97 for a player, price at the low 70s. I think that's a win every day of the week. Let's talk about Tom DeConing. And I know a lot of people are going to ask this question because I'm asking myself the same question. He scored a 132.
And in typical Ball Boys fashion, we don't have an answer for you.
No. I vice-captained him, as I recommended a lot of people to do. You didn't obviously read the big boys that dropped.
Oh, did you drop the big boys?
Yeah, it dropped on Thursday, mate, for all our Patreon members.
Oh, I better sign up.
Yeah, you should. So he was in there as the prime VC option. But do you take the 132 VC? We've seen that Harry Boyd is confirmed to be playing. Do you take a red dot instead of a Harry Boyd? Or some people are asking, do you take a red dot defense in someone like a... who's the West Coast guy? Bo Allen, who is not there this week, sick, apparently, but is all reports likely to come back next week.
It's not leather poisoning, I'll tell you that for free.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's in no danger of that. What do we do here, Luke? Tell me, I need help, because I've flipped and flopped more than a catfish and a moon bouncer, as they
nice,
say.
Nice, they say, me say. The question I asked you just before we jumped on was, what's going to piss you off more? So, if you choose to not go with the TDK VC and you put the C on, for you it's Brayshaw, for others it might be someone else, is it going to piss you off more if that captain option gives you an 80 and you had a 130 on the table? Or is it going to piss you off more the alternative to that? So you lock in the 132 and Boyd is named now, but Boyd goes well and you miss out on that 1 week of cash gen. Because this is the important thing to remember as well. On that second side of things, yes, you might be a little bit pissed off if Boyd does well this week, but you have the option to trade him in.
Yeah.
Whereas...
I can't get those points back.
You can't get the points back. So I think if Boyd gives us 100 and the cash gen is flying and then for some reason you can't get him in, I think that really pisses you off. But I think the more likely scenario is that you get pissed off, especially if your captain option drops an 80 and then we see someone that you're fading a Sherry or you're fading a popular player. Maybe they go big and everyone else gets that captain score. I think that's likely to piss you off more.
Yeah, it is more likely to piss me off. But it's easy to piss me off once fantasy starts. I like that point you said there. Like, if Harry Boyd goes gangbusters, then I can always trade him in. I don't think I'm locked there. If I select someone with DPP, it can be either from the non-playing R3 or it could be from a forward or something like that. It could be a Connor Stone, you know, someone who...
He's solid.
He's solid, very solid. But he's got his bye. So, you know, I could do that. And by having that red dot, I'm not sacrificing the bye round rookie for that loop. I've got a loop in another way. So there's options there. If I had Tristan Sherry or Max Gawn in my side, giveaway for the big boys later, I don't think I'd be considering this. If I had one of those two big rucks with great matchups, I don't think I'd be considering it. But for those of you that don't, like me, Brayshaw, Dawson, I'm just less confident on their ceiling, on their game compared to the others. So that's what has me considering. I said in the preseason, 130 was my line. And he's just snuck over. Right.
He's testing out.
So it's going to, yeah. Look, a lot of coaches out there, good coaches, you know, listen to Selby's sort of late mail. He said he would go with a cash in option. DT Lemon, he's a big cash gen guy. So, and I've done successful seasons with having that R3 red dot in the past. So this is, I guess, my way of playing versus other successful players playing. I don't know. It feels tough. But again, you've got the difference in the first three rounds after this being a sub. So yes, I'm lost.
Let's not make this the Mitch monologue podcast.
But I will say, if you got Max, if you got Sherry, I would just back those guys in. If you have Brayshaw, Dawson, one of those other guys afterward, and that's going to be a captain. Look, I'm not going to talk you out of either scenario. I'm like 55% sure I'm going to take the vice captain at this stage, but I could change my mind in an hour's time.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. That'll do us. We don't have time for anything else because Mitch just wanted to play the tiny violin.
I'm going to take this fucking scarf off. I'll tell you that much. It's 30 degrees here.
It's not a Queensland scarf. Let's talk teams. So, of course, teams are dropping as we speak, I would imagine.
Let's go Sunday teams.
We're very busy here at Ball Boys HQ, but not only have we got teams dropping, we've had, you know, rookies being announced.
Well, let's go with the Sunday teams first, because that's hot off the press.
Tell me more.
So, Hugh Boxall. He's not going to be playing. So he's someone that you guys or a lot of people might have had in there. But Daniel Curtin, Sid Draper, Harry Boyd, Angus Hasty, Schoenmaker as well, who we didn't see in the preseason. Who else? Max Hall, Liam O'Connell have all made the squad. So there's a lot of St Kilda players there.
And there's a lot of green vesty sounding names that you're reading out there. That's there something are. We need to be aware of as well.
So Hasty was named on the field before the Sunday squad trim, but now he's now moved to the bench on their list.
I got a bit hasty with him and just slowed him down a little bit.
Yeah, very nice, very nice. So I don't know if that means anything, but so Hugh Boxall is the highlight there. He was a guy that I would have maybe had at the top of that list there when it comes to, you know, the players like a Max Hall. Or a Hasty. So he's obviously not someone you're going to start with, but you do have a few guys to pivot. The good thing is you can't put all of them in a vest. So some of them are going to start on the field. So I think if you're weighing up between a few of those Saints boys, you have at least the option to go to another player who doesn't get started as the sub, which is a good player to go. For Adelaide, Sid Draper and Daniel Curtin are both named on their bench. I think it's more than likely that Sid Draper is going to be the sub. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so. Talk to me just strategy-wise, aside from the specific names. Levi Ashcroft, of course, we think he's been confirmed as being the starting sub. Is your strategy with these rookies, you're working your way through the weekend, and the first rookie in the price bracket that you're shopping in that you find that is not named the green vest, as long as they're a rookie that you've been considering, it's not just someone out of nowhere, that's the guy you need to go with it. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, well, you first want to fill your side with the players you're confident with. So, you know, last night for me was Camporeale, Luke Traynor. I'm pretty confident on Finn O'Sullivan, Zach Reed, confident in. It's kind of those last two spots, confident in Sam Davidson, Connor Stone. I know he's in the Sunday squad. I'm pretty sure he's going to be there. I feel confident in that. It's kind of those last two spots for me. To me, it's like, okay, let's bank away. I've got a short list of names.
He plays for Richmond, I think.
Yeah, he did last night. But I don't want to get to that final game. For example, I know there's a Melbourne versus GWS game. If you don't get a guy from that game who's not the sub, there's really no one else. Like, West Coast is after them, but we don't know about Elijah Hewitt or anything like that.
He's also sexy.
He is also a bit more expensive. And I just need to check. He is on the interchange, so he's not an emergency. So that's good. Basically in that scenario, when it comes down to those last couple of guys, if a guy's starting and not the sub, I think I would just lock it in because I would hate to be in that situation where I'm waiting on one of those Melbourne rookies. I only have enough money for those guys and they're the sub. Then I've got nowhere else to go. I think that would be a bad situation. At least the guy you start with, he's not the sub. He's going to make enough cash at least to make it semi-easy to sideways across after week one.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I mean, it's round one, so we don't necessarily have trade targets like we would normally do on the Friday live show.
Well, what else we got on the Sunday teams? We've got a shit ton of debutants for Melbourne. So some new players, Matthew Jefferson, Harvey Langford, Xavier Lindsay, Harry Sharp, Aiden Johnson, and Jack Henderson. Six new players for Melbourne.
Not all of them will play.
No, that's locked. That's confirmed.
That's locked in. Okay.
That's confirmed. So
GWS are going to have a field day.
They're going to have a field day. Now, one of them will start as the sub.
Yeah.
But that does make me feel more confident in the two guys that we're predominantly looking at in Xavier Lindsay and Harvey Langford, at least escaping that sub. So I think you could roll with either one of them. Do you have a preference of which one you'd rather, Langford or Lindsay? I'm just going to look up these other guys because I haven't looked at any of the other ones before.
I'd probably lean Langford over Lindsay, but both of the Melbourne games preseason were, I think, ones that you watched and reported back to me. So I'm going to go Langford over Lindsay, but
So I think I might be the other way. If Lindsay avoids the sub, I think I'd go Lindsay. The Langdon going inside vacates a wing for me that I think Lindsay can play. And he also has like the ability to go behind the ball too. I think he played a bit of his junior career as a half back. So I think that for a young player, is a better role than a half forward with just little stints in the midfield. Matthew Jefferson, 230K forward. Haven't heard really much about him. Aiden Johnson. Who's this guy? Where is he? He's another 230K for 25-year-old, so mature age. Probably needed to do a bit more research on these guys, but...
This is great content. Just watching.
They're not players I'd launch into. So, but what I'm saying is, if you've got all these other guys that have not played a game, it provides some safety for the star rookies, basically.
Yeah, it does. But I think the same logic applies to when we're picking players in our team. You want to have done a little bit of research about the players that you're going to pick in your team. So don't... Hopefully, you don't put yourself in a position later in the weekend.
But if you do wait to that Melbourne game, you'll have at least some backup options. Yeah. So it makes me feel a little bit better about if you like one of those guys, maybe passing over like a Liam Connell if he's not the sub, and you know, going somewhere where you didn't want to go to have the Melbourne guys in the back pocket. Last one here, West Coast versus Gold Coast. So like we said, Elijah Hewitt is in the 23. He's someone that spent a little bit of time in your side. Is he still a chance to make it in for the Oxlongs?
Yeah, at the moment he's at the Oxlongs. I'm waiting on maybe a mid-round potential restructure, depending on how Sam De Koning performs. It's Saturday first game. If he performs well, he's one of those ones I'm a little sketchy on. So if he goes well, I think that I can maybe take a haircut at the top of my defence, and that would mean that Hewitt would be sacrificed. But at the moment, I know we haven't seen a preseason, and that's a little bit it's a little bit sketchy. But this
he played the first game.
This is a guy that, for a lot of coaches, was sitting at F6 for a large portion of the preseason too. So the other thing with him is you're paying up a little bit, so that if it does all go tits up, then you can move around. You got a bit of cash on his head.
What I will say, Sam Doherty sat in our sides for a lot of the preseason. He was a sub last night, so
he scored. He scored
points
per well.
Minute.
He
points per minute
well
were good. But I'm just saying that, like, sometimes we can be very wrong early in the preseason. So, for what it's worth,
see how it plays out.
But no, I do think he is still an option. And also, Archer Reid has been confirmed to play. I think he's going to play a bit more of a key forward role. So he's another R3 option. I think in that situation, if it was just him, I would go the red dot. Because I just don't think he's going to score more than 30s or 40s. But Boydie, I think, has a bit more chance to put his 60s, 70s up there potentially. So, whereas in previous years, I don't think we've had that option, which makes it a little bit more of a tougher decision for me than previous years. Let's go and talk about anything else. So we talked about Ashcroft. So Ashcroft, starting as the sub.
Yep.
First of all, what the fuck? Second of all, what do we do? Is it... Like, obviously, we can't go to Lawler now. Is like that's where... Did he come in because of that for you?
Not for me. At that stage, I had both of them. But I don't think... The question for some people is, oh, can you just start him regardless?
I don't think you can.
I think you can as either. It's especially the way the sub can be used. He might not come on till really late in the game. He might drop a score. And because he's up there with some of the most expensive rookies, you're not really going to get anything for what you're paying first.
It also buys you time on the other end. So say he comes out and he comes in and he scores a 30, then you might not need to get him in immediately, even if he isn't the sub the following week, because his break-even is going to be a bit higher up as a result of that. So it just buys you time to maybe see one of these other rookies get a bit of cash ahead of him, and he always is an option to drop back. But it is disappointing. He was a guy that I was really considering to have on my field. So it caused me to restructure a little bit. I brought back in the Nathan O'Driscoll, and I'm sure if Mini Monk is watching along, he'd be proud of me. So Nod comes back into my side after going Lawler down to one of those 230K St Kilda players to get O'Driscoll up into my side. So that's the little restructure I've done. And I think that's a fairly easy enough sort of shuffle that some people can do.
We want to answer as many questions as we possibly can, and we'll do that.
We will get to
the end of the show. Mitch will stop monologuing and we'll talk big boys
soon. I mean, well...
But
maybe.
But
I can monologue with the best of them.
And I'm happy to cut you off, especially when I see a super chat fly through.
Jared.
It's the first super chat of 2025. Jared, we very much appreciate it. And his question is, who's going to score more and is less likely to be the sub? Is it Hasty, O'Connell, Reid, Langford, Dewar, or Constanti?
Okay.
Likely to be having two on the bench.
Okay, so two of these players. I think rule out Dua. I don't think I'd start him. He seems bestie to me. I don't know if Reed will be the sub, but I think he could also be the subbed out.
He could be the red vest. I like the sound of Hasty. The thing with Freo, I think they have a few big names out. So
yeah,
I think that...
So
that,
he's here for a bit, but then when they come back in, he's out?
It could be. I think it maybe bodes well for his chances this week of not being the vest, which is Jared's question, mm-hmm. but whether in a couple of weeks' time you're having to shift him, that could be a bit of an issue. Would you have Hasty at the top of that list?
I think if I was to pick two, I think I'd pick Hasty and Langford.
Okay.
Is probably where I'd go. I also think O'Connell is a guy that I don't think he's going to get subbed. He's going to play a bit more of a defensive role, and usually that role isn't one of the roles to get subbed out. But I also think his scoring might not be as high as like a Hasty, for example. So I think Hasty's a guy that I'd take a punt on. I think he's going to be a bit more offensive focused.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. Jared, appreciate your question. Thank you very much, mate. Are you ready to put your glasses on, mate?
Mate, I am ready as ever. Do you want to cue up the music?
Let me see if I can get you some music, mate.
Woo! Let's go! We're talking big boys! Now, like I said, the guys over at Patreon, they've already seen this list, and it is the same list. No changes. And I will say, for those of you at Patreon, if I put out the list and teams drop and there's a ruck missing or something like that, that will get updated. But this is the same list. At number one, he's a guy that neither of us are starting. Tristan Sherry.
You told me he's got a bad run.
He's got a bad run. Starting next week. Because... up against Tim English, he went back. He had two games against Western Bulldogs. One of them was with Tim English. One of them was out. But
for a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Both games, he went 120 plus. And there's just no reason for me to doubt the player who I have as the highest projected averaging AFL fantasy player. In a positive matchup in week one, you want a safe, reliable captain. He's going to hit out and tackle his way to basically 80 or 90 points. And then whatever he does outside of that will be just icing on the top. So to me, he is still number one, the most bankable captain. Some people might have number two flipped, but I have Max Gawn.
Before you tell me about Max
Gawn, number two.
Not only is Mini Monk watching, but he's also proud of you. He said it in the chat.
Oh,
mate.
I'm very thankful. Well done. It means a lot.
Mini Mug knows his stuff, so we appreciate him jumping in the chat. I think he's answering some questions for people too, which is much appreciated.
Just got emotional a bit there for a second. But yeah, no, thank you, Mini Monk. Very much appreciate it. Hopefully I can be a big boy like you one day with two hats. But anyway, number two, Max Gawn. He is going up against Lachie Keefe.
Why are you telling me all these big boys I don't have in my team?
It's well,
not what I like to hear.
Maybe you can change it. We've already got a 130 Tom DeConey, so it's not all doom and gloom. But he is going up against Keefe, who Cameron put up a 136, was it? And put up 120 points in three quarters. So you divide that by three, that's 40 points a quarter. Okay, Max Gawn going 160. I don't think it's as easy as that. I think they'll be a bit more prepared, but he is, to me, those top two are head and shoulders figuratively and literally above the rest of the other players because they're tall guys, Luke. That's the joke.
I got it.
So he is at number two. Number three and four are very close to me. At three, I have Dawson. Four, I have Andy Brayshaw. I think Dawson's ceiling might be a little bit higher. Brayshaw's floor might be a little bit safer. I think Dawson, first game of the season, I'm pretty sure he's not going to spend a whole bunch of time forward. And if you go back and look at his average was dragged down by, you know, five or six games where he scores 60s and 70s. Most weeks, he's scoring 110s. So, I think
First beer back, it's repeating on you, mate.
Yeah, I know. It's getting to me. I'm too excited.
I was getting excited. A couple over here as well, don't worry.
So, flip a coin between those two, but at this stage, I've got Dawson ahead of Brayshaw just for a little bit more ceiling. At number five, a bit of a curly one, I have Noah Anderson up against the West Coast Eagles.
You know he's playing
where
away.
They have to. Surely they get the win, Luke. Surely. It's an easy matchup, positive for midfielders. I think he gets the biscuits there.
It could be a ceiling score there.
And he goes 140s. I think he's got a bit of a wider range than those guys. In a typical week, this would be a VC, a perfect VC. It's like the last game of the round, so you couldn't do it anyway. But if you want to just throw it up there, and for draft owners, if you got Noah Anderson, I think he should be high up there when it comes to fantasy captains. Sure. But yes, so this is my debate. So my number four captain here for myself is Brayshaw. I think you have the Andy Bray as well.
I still have Brayshaw. I'd be thinking Brayshaw and then potentially Rosie with a decent matchup against Collingwood as my backup. Mm. But that's where I sit.
If you want the rest of the list, the other five of the top 10 and some extras, you can check the full list out at patreon.com/ballboys. Where we go into detail on a lot of other options there. But those are my top five. And because a lot of us are just going whack with the C, no VCs, hopefully you're starting one of those five because that's what you're picking them for, is to have a captain option there. So that is week one of the big boys.
Very nice, very nice. It's probably a good opportunity to talk quickly about the Patreon. If you are new to the show and you're jumping in with us today, if you haven't already, like Mitch said, head over to patreon.com/ballboys. Not only you get the full big boys, you get early access, you're going to get Rojo's round review, you're going to get to join into our ball boys league, you are going to get the Mitch's weekly trade targets, plenty of content over there. So if you want to join
us, blueprint,
we'd appreciate it and love to have you over there, of course.
Absolutely, yes. And thank you again to all the legends that have already signed up there. It's a great community so far. So
it's buzzing. It's
loving
buzzing.
It. Mate, what did we have? A 90-minute podcast answering marathon questions the other day. Everyone was double-dipping, triple-dipping with lots of questions. And I'm proud of us for getting every single one.
Now, mate, I support Sausage. Has a question for us.
Oh, okay.
That's right. His name. I support Sausage.
Okay, I thought you were starting some kind of campaign here.
Appreciate it. I support Sausage for your super chat. His question is, boys, Reed and Lindsay, or is it Pryor and Hasty?
I'm going to go the first and Reed and Lindsay to me. Pryor, I don't know. We're spending up a fair bit for Pryor and I don't know if his role is going to be that good. He scored worse than Reed in the practice match. He's going to be defensive minded. So to me, that's the swing factor there.
Yeah, keep in mind for Pryor as well that the Essendon backline fantasy numbers were stacked in that second preseason game.
The good news is he'll never get called for...
you butchered it. I knew where you were going to. You butchered it.
Sorry, no. He will always get called for holding the ball.
Cut that.
Damn it.
It would have been good too. Oh, it was all in the delivery.
Absolutely.
Do you want to try and tell the people what you were going for?
No. We butchered it. It's over. The moment's passed.
No prior. That's horrible.
Shit.
Leave the gear to me, mate.
I'm one beer deep and I'm already fucking up the jokes. All right. Lyndon's got a question here. Cheers, boys. What do you think about Jordan Clark at D1? Limit upside, 5 to 10 points at best, but ultra consistent. Look, honestly, at D1, that's kind of all we're after. I'm not sure I even see that in terms of the 5 to 10 points. Do you see that?
I can see there aren't
too many options. So.
Yeah, I think that's probably the thing that might save you there, Lyndon. I could see 5 points, but I wouldn't know what I'd be pointing to suggest that there's 5 points there.
He's maybe play, Luke Ryan just takes a backseat a bit
potentially, but it might be a little bit of a stretch. But all that said, Lyndon, if you are really confident that there's 5 points there in defense this year where we feel like there's not much upside, this could be a play.
Yeah, I wouldn't talk you out of it. It's not where I'm going, but I think it's not the worst unique pick. And I drafted him in the slot of Survivor, so I hope you're right. Let's talk some mucho spicy takes. Olé, olé, olé,
olé. Feeling hot, hot, hot. We are feeling hot, hot, hot.
If you can hear
that sound in the background, that's my daughter crying because I had to take these out of her toy box.
Wait your turn, Kenzie. Come on.
Yeah.
Our time to shine.
She's been playing with these for the last 6 months, but fantasy's back, baby. Footy's back, and we need them in the podcast room. So, tough titties.
Tough titties. All right, let's go. Now, you haven't written anything down here.
I got it in the noggin, mate.
Now, okay. I did. This might sound like I'm piggybacking off a big performance, but there's evidence that I predicted this.
Don't bring no piggybacking up in here.
But I've upped it. I've upped it since the Patreon Q&A. My spicy take is that Tom DeConing averages 110 for the entire season. I said 105 on the Patreon. I'm upping it.
So you're straight 110. Away, you're straight away doing a season-long spicy take.
Season-long this, spicy take, round
people,
one.
People, this is a strategy because nobody will call him on his spicy takes if it's 25 weeks away.
You won't look back
away.
At this. Yeah. You won't come back and check on this.
Don't like it. We need a new rule. Your spicy take.
No, my Matt Crouch one got up. That was a season-long and...
We're talking about it in 2025. No one cares. Yeah. New rule. Spicy take has to happen this weekend. That's bullshit.
All right. I think he'll average 132 in the first week of the season.
Nice.
Oh, he did. There you go.
Well done.
No, 110 for Tom DeConing, and we might not even need to trade him out.
My spicy take, remember it's spicy, so it's less likely to happen, but Levi Ashcroft, not the sub, people...
Oh, you're saying
their teams up to
you're
try
saying
and get
the
him
reporters
back in.
Have stuffed this one up.
Well, it's spicy for a reason, but I like the idea of a bit of chaos with this. This rolling lockout is fucked up.
Oh, I tweeted this out. The rolling lockout just magnifies the stress levels of starting a fantasy team just 10-15-fold.
I changed my team more times in the half an hour leading into last night's game than I did in the 3 months leading up to it. And the thing with the rolling lockout is that there's so many ways you can fuck yourself.
Oh, yeah.
You can pick the wrong Camporeale. You could put a player on the bench and forget to put the E on him.
I've seen some people... I saw someone put the... They tried to put the VC on Tom DeConing, but it didn't save, so it was the C, and they got lucky that he scored 130. But I saw someone else do the same thing with Tim Taranto, and obviously didn't get so lucky.
Bro, it's killer.
Some horror stories out there.
It is killer.
Hey, Juicy... I'm hoping it's not Juicy Prusy, but Juice has just kindly not asked a question, but just thrown a super chat our way. So thank you very much for that, Juice.
Appreciate you, Juice.
So everyone, please, first of all, get your spicy takes in the comment section and then drop your questions in the chat, the live chat. We'll go through them for as many as we can for the next sort of 10, 15, 20 minutes, depending on how long we want to ride this thing out. And let's get it going. Pump us with questions. What's the first one on the list there, Luke?
Well, I might actually have to start bringing my glasses.
Oh,
to the
mate,
podcast.
You are getting old.
Yeah, 30 soon, mate. So
we're halfway in the grave.
It's all downhill from here. Okay, let's get. I found a question here from Jaden. So he says, thoughts on Jack Hutchinson from the Eagles, named on the ball, could be a good replacement for Ashcroft.
Since that first practice match, I've been off Hutchinson. I just don't think there's enough points to go around at the West Coast Eagles for a player. I know maybe he spends a little bit of time inside. I think he's still going to play predominantly on the wing. And I just think in that team, if it was the Saints, I'd be much more keen. But on the Eagles, at an elevated rookie price and with other good options in our forward line, I don't think I can justify it. So not for me.
Fair enough. Oh, I've found a name that I want to say. Pietro Bonaccina.
Hey, Pietro.
Pietro, we love you. You're on the live show now. Taranto was a tough watch. Ooh.
I do not remember seeing him very much. I remember the commentator saying he had like 27 or so touches, but...
This was tough. And to be fair, Taranto... I don't know why I'm still holding the maracas. Taranto was a guy that... I think
89.
There was a case for picking him and... The preseason game kind of maybe gave us a little bit of concern.
He had 30 touches. He had one mark and three tackles. That's not typically Tim Taranto.
No, that's surprising for me. And I think maybe depending on what happens with your team over the course of the weekend, Pietro, you can just file that one away. And if there's nothing else to fix up, so to speak, then maybe you can address that. But when a guy has 30 touches but doesn't score in a way that we expect him to score... That might earn him another week, potentially.
I actually think he'll be fine because consulting the table indicating toughness...
No nips.
Some might call it the tit. Some might be me. We flagged this. Richmond have a tough run. So Carlton was an orange team. Port Adelaide, which is their next matchup, a red team. St Kilda was a neutral, but I think they might be green. So they're a bit better. Brisbane, then tough. And then Frio, Gold Coast, and a few other easy matchups after that. So I wouldn't panic on Taranto. The 30 touches to me is encouraging. I think when Richmond start to wax a little bit more when they are slowing the ball moving down, it was fast footy last night, faster than I expected it to be. And I think that will change and that will go to Taranto's benefit. So I'm not super concerned.
Okay. Ash or the Iceberg?
Ash. Oh, Lockie Ash.
Lockie Ash.
Ooh.
Hutch mates question here. Ash or
I'm
the
going
Iceberg?
To Berg. You're Give the Berg? Me the Berg. I don't know what it is about Ash. I'm just not sold. I think the tackles he got were unsustainable. I also think that Whitfield was out cramping in the last quarter. He waxed as a result and benefited from that. I think the Berg could be the real deal.
Big on the Berg's hidden potential?
Yeah, his hidden. It's a bit below the water, his potential. I think he's good. I think he's good. I'm going to go there. And their run for Port Adelaide, for defenders, it's just as good as the midfield. Collingwood, Richmond, Essendon, St Kilda in round four. I think he's gonna come out to a quick start.
All right, we're getting through these questions as best we can, guys. They're coming in thick and fast, so we're going to kind of work our way through. But if your question doesn't get answered, please don't be offended. Riley's question here is Corey Wagner. Wags as a pod.
Corey Wagner? No, I don't think so. I think there's a few Freo guys to come back, and I don't feel like Wags is someone who's secured in that team. He could be the starting sub.
He could be. I think I've heard something about him, actually, when he was back at school. I've heard he rarely attends class.
I thought you were going to go the tail wagging
let me
route,
finish it.
But
I've heard he wags.
I knew where you were going.
Well, let me finish it then.
I heard you know when he's happy. He starts twerking.
Nah, not as good as mine. Sean snuck in with a super chat. We really appreciate it. Sean, Meek or Decam? Meek, the question scrolled away from me. Let me get back up there.
Too fast.
It went away. Meek lets me get Callahan. So if he goes Meek, gets Callahan. That's
I'm Decam because I don't know why. Because I think there's the Cox thing where he's not in the side anymore. There's something that's different that gives me the optimism that he might actually, like, his scoring might be, that starting score might be real. Whereas I think Meek, it's much the same. I think had this been any other round, we would have just blown past that and not been a thing. But it's the first round of the season that we're getting hung up on it. And I'm not as fast on Callahan as others are.
Okay, Andrew's having a bit of a tough time. He's a Patreon member. Appreciate that, Andrew. Part of the Ball Boys family. He's having a tough time picking his F6, 7, and 8. So do we feel Davidson at F6? I think you can. So currently I'm not, full disclosure, but that's not because I don't think that you can have a good structure where you do feel Davidson at F6. So does he do that and make a play for Wicks as F9?
Look, I will say, if Wicks was a defender, we'd be starting him.
All over it like a rash.
We would be absolutely all over him. The only issue is in the forward line, we've got too many other good options. So if you want to go Wicks and just get that cash generation, I think it's a play. Like you, I personally have Davidson on my bench because I like a lot of other guys and it's the way I find myself fitting them in. And for whatever reason, maybe this is the old school mentality, but I don't love putting my forwards in my midfield. So for me, it's Davidson, it's Cornerstone. They're my two rookie benches. But Wicks might actually be next because your players like Kakko,
Evans,
Berry, I remembered his name this time.
Who am I talking about, Evans? I think I was trying to say Berry and Evans just came out.
Yeah, I went with it.
Yeah, you roll with it, appreciate it. Yeah,
Berry, Kakko.
I was thinking of Berry and said Evans.
Curtin, all these other guys, I don't love their scoring potential. So to me, it's Davidson and Stone and probably I'd say Wicks next. If you have the cash to spend and it's not changing anything dramatically on your side. A couple more super chats.
We've got a couple sneaking in and appreciate Minimunk doing God's work in the chat and answering as many questions as he can is there. Super chat from Impede, or should I put a bit of zhuzh on it? Impede.
Impede.
Wondering how many people had the wrong game for reality. It was 1.17% last night. Put it this way, if you had the wrong one, you probably packed up and just ended up. It was probably, that would have been enough for me to throw the toys before we'd even got to the first show.
When I looked at like Camper Reality's name up initially, maybe a couple of weeks ago, I was like, oh shit, there's two of them. And I had to go back and look to see which one he was, because I didn't register the first name at all. That's an easy mistake, I think, to make.
Yeah, I think I'm with impaired here. Is that I would have just gone to create a new email address and knocked up a new team without any Carlton and Richmond players.
Yeah, there was a good team posted by the traders today, I think. So if you have a mate who hasn't joined in, yeah, send him that team and get him up. Yeah, get him signed up. We need more players in.
The more people playing, the more people Mitch can try to beat. Zed's got another super chat.
For the love of God, he says.
Talk me out of dunks at M1. We've got to talk him out. Fully priced?
Fully priced, maybe overpriced. Let me return you with another quick. What do you think of Will Ashcroft?
He didn't super chat to be given another question.
Well, okay.
He super chatted for an answer.
Most of us are expecting Ashcroft to improve.
Yeah.
I don't think, and I think Brisbane were right up the top there in terms of fantasy scoring as a team anyway. So there's not much room for them to get any better. So to me, those points have to come from somewhere. And I think Dunks is a prime candidate to lose out if we're going to see any improvement from an Ashcroft. So to me, that is the talking you out of it. I don't love talking people out of point of difference picks, because you might have seen something that I haven't, but that's why we haven't really talked about Dunkley too much.
I know we're meant to talk you out of it, but the run is succulent. Sorry, Zed. Okay, hope that helps. Lockie's question, he says, Nod and Davo
F6.
At F6. Yep. Okay, Hugo and Foss M7, or Pryor down for Nod and Hugo.
I kind of like the last one. Pryor down to who? Are you going to like a...
It's tough. I want to go down to Trainer, but I can't.
Yeah,
yeah, look, we're lost for options back there. That's the tough thing. The thing, like you said,
maybe
about Pryor
not. Because like, then it's like Connell or whatever.
You start to get pretty loosey-goosey. The tough thing about Pryor is, of course, the fact that now Essendon are going to miss two price movements, an extra price move they're going to miss compared to everyone else. But I think given that what we consider to be our best option is now gone,
yeah,
you might just have to lock Pryor.
Yeah,
away.
I don't think I'd want to start Leek or Connell or those other guys. So
the good thing about locking away Pryor there, I guess, is that he's more expensive. You can always move.
You've got
shake.
The flexibility, the pivotability, as you like to say. So if we're eliminating that option then, because there's no other good white guys to go down to, scroll back up. I'm losing it. Okay, I'm gonna go with So I'm assuming this option, you still have Davidson in your side.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go the second option and field Finn O'Sullivan and get Hugo. Ooh.
I like actually, fielding Davidson before I like fielding the Foss.
So you're not getting Nathan O'Driscoll at all in the second option. Actually, no, I'm backflipping. I'm going Nod and Davo. That's what I'm going.
Perfect.
I believe in Nathan O'Driscoll more than I believe in Garcia. I think Garcia is a risk of getting dropped at some point.
Okay,
personally.
St Kilda's team seems pretty light on, but no indecision there for you, Lockie, so appreciate your super chat. Lyndon, coming with a very, very much appreciated super chat.
Thank you very much, Lyndon.
His question is, I'm making the uncomfortable decision to play a rookie at D6, trainers at D7 as emergency. Provides a little bit of leeway going forward, which yeah, I think there's some validity
especially
to that.
Especially best 18.
Yep. But what's the deal with... Who we got here?
Bice. St Kilda, Bice. 230K
boy.
Defender. He is someone...
The big Bison.
24-year-old, and apparently some really good raps on him as a scorer. So I think if he's not the sub, he has a chance to do well. However, there's a few injured Sydney players that are going to come in, and his job security really does concern me. He's not necessarily someone I think I'd want to go there, but if... He starts to put together some gains and it looks like he's not a guy that they can afford to drop.
Yeah.
Then I would launch in. But I do know that there is some good raps on him as a scorer. And if he had the same kind of job security as someone like a Zach Reed, I'd be all over him. Like I'd be starting him much more confidently. I think he's a better scorer than our other options, but the job security is very, very risky, I think.
Well, Lida mentions Wicks as an also option. I think we're probably going there with a little
bit
of runs on the board.
I think so. Like he's in their side, right?
Yeah, I like to think so. In a half decent role too.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. Beautiful. We've got still questions coming in thick and fast. Another super chat, which we much appreciate from Feeney. What options, boys? Number one option is D6 Pryor, VC TDK.
Mm-hmm.
And then whacking the C on Bo Allen.
Yeah, yeah.
Love it.
I see.
And all we have with Allen on, or number two, we have D6 is Reed with the captaincy on Gorn, Foss at M8, Weeks at F7. I'm going to go with the second option. I think Gorn could be monstrous.
Yeah, I think with the Gorn up your sleeve, you're going that way.
Yeah,
and Gorn, Bo Allen, first of all, you're paying more than basement price, which I don't love to do for my red dots.
Yeah.
Like, because that, he's like 295K. Like, there's like 65K that you might not ever be able to realize. So, and he's a guy that's, he could go backwards in cash, honestly. With what we score in the Amy series game and sub potential and things like that. He's coming off this apparently bad thing of sickness. Who knows if he's actually going to be back in there? I remember a couple of years ago, like I started a guy, I can't remember who it was now, but there's no guarantee these guys that we thought were going to be walk-ups are going to be there in a couple of weeks. So yeah, I'd just back in Gorn.
Yeah, Gorn is such a juicy option this week. So if you have him up your sleeve, then it seems, you know, weird not to use him. So,
give me two more questions, Luke, and then I think we'll sign out and let these guys get to their teams.
Beautiful. Okay, Andrew's got a question. He says, why is Matt Flynn taking over Archer Reed as a solid ruck?
Why is Matt Flynn? Well, he got recruited to go there to be the savior of their rucks. Now, it hasn't happened so far, but he is a good ruckman. And yeah. I think... personally, I think he is their best option. So I think Reed is still very young, and we don't often see Ruckman peak until they're sort of like in their, 25, 26 years. So so I think he's doing his time in the forward line, I think, there, Reedy.
With our last question, we're going to remain true to form. We love when people ask what they should have for dinner tonight or what kind of beverage they should be drinking. Mm. It almost gets us going more than the actual fantasy questions. And Bomber says, it's Friday Arvo in Perth. Should he crack a beer or a Bundy?
Ooh, the Bundy rum.
Full send.
Oh, go the Bundy.
Round one, full send.
Go the Bundy. It's Queensland flavour. You got a sold there, mate. You got a sold. I mean, what you could do, you could start with a beer, start mellow, and then crack it up when the game starts. Go the Bundys. Go full send. We're not promoting binge drinking or anything, but go hard.
Go find yourself a succulent 4X gold mother's milk, mate.
Yeah, have one or two of those and then get the Bundys going. But no, if you got to pick one, go the Bundy.
Guys, right. There's so many questions in the live chat. If we were to try and answer them all, we would be here till next week. So if you do want to jump over to the Patreon, join the Ball Boys family, we do our Wednesday night Q&A, and the logic at the moment is answer all the questions or die trying every Wednesday night.
Yeah, we've not missed a single question so far, and it might be the death of us, but...
we will keep showing up on a Wednesday night. So if you are itching to have your questions answered midweek, then the Patreon is the place to do it.
And remember, you're not only going to get that. You're going to get the Ball Boys, the full list, a day earlier than everyone else. You're also going to get the trade targets. You're going to get Rojo's round review. So if you missed some of the games of the footy, we've got you covered. And lots of other good things. The blueprint, which we've got. We've already got the trades rounds 2 through 5 there to fix up your team. So lots and lots of things for you guys to benefit. So head over to patreon.com/ballboys. We're going to leave it there, mate.
Go crack another one of these ones. And
give a big thumbs up. Make sure you guys are subscribed. 5-star rating review. And we'll see you guys on the other side. Hopefully we're not in tears. Until then, bye.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.